because anything else would be uncivilized.
This is the news, is that the group of globalists, everyone involved in this new reset, global economy, one world order, all of that, anywhere, and enforcing the jab, which is a pathological weapon to destroy our body, that's what it is. The Soros, George Soros of the world, the Bill Gates, everybody involved in this reset, and the Holy Father is their spiritual leader. Is that they want to control the world population completely, have us under their control. The world population is too big. I don't think such a power novel has ever been written, but it's true. And I think our time is limited, very limited now, for this reign of evil, of persecution, of death, that we're going to experience what we've never imagined.
What role in the Middle East again does Israel play in this?
Israel was created as the instrument to bring about the Battle of Armageddon and the fulfillment of prophecy, a war that would be so terrible where nuclear weapons will be used.
I want to thank our dear friend Bobby Kennedy, phenomenal friend of Israel and the Jewish community, for joining us to celebrate Israel Parade on Israel's 75th birthday. Bobby, this crowd loves you.
God bless Israel. I'm going to be a champion for Israel as president. God bless
you. I love some of you and your family.
Your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
Are American personnel and assets at risk, Mr. President? Mr. President, are American troops at risk as well?
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed. Thank you very much.
So that the American citizens and the other people in the world will get down on their knees and beg for no more war. What is the answer to that? They're going to be told the only way to guarantee no war is if we destroy the sovereignty of nations and we come together as one humanity and one world government.
You've got Russia could end up in a world war between Russia, Ukraine, and all of the chaos, and that's something should have never happened. It would have never happened. What's going on with Israel, October 7th, and what's going on with Israel could end up in a world war. We have a president that doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and we could end up in a world war.
Now I'm telling you, unless the American people wake up and stop it, the Battle of Armageddon will become a reality. The Battle of Armageddon will become a reality.
That we're going to experience what we've never imagined.
War is just a shot away. In fact, that shot has been now heard around the world. Good evening, everybody. I am Dean Ryan here with Real Deal Media's Weekend Update. Yes, a very impromptu weekend update. as everything has gone haywire. Everyone's electronics, some of them have now resetted. Everybody's internet is slow, and the rockets, the bombs, the bullets, and all this weird military technology and aircraft has now been unleashed. Could this have been the post-apocalyptic or post-eclipse kind of happenings that everybody was predicting? The case can be made here tonight. Okay. Well, so welcome tonight. We have a lot to get to, and I'm now treating every broadcast as it could be our very last. That's how DEF CON 1 I'm feeling here tonight, and I know you are as well, wherever you may be. We're going to be getting to just all the latest updates that I can't even keep up. I couldn't even create the appropriate video packages in time because these things are just coming through. Some of them, some of the footage you might, you know, you're going to see and witness are like video game footage that has to be corrected or CGIs, and some of them are real. That's the kind of psychological, just kabuki theater we're now under just experiencing here. So we're going to be getting to that, and joining us soon, very shortly, is our very own Jim Fetzer, as he's been following the Iranian, now Israeli war crises as it's now unfolding. We're going to be getting into that in the Politicos now. As is the election even going to be a thing? Are we going to even make it to November? So we're going to talk about that. We have some other worldly issues, just some butchering happening in Australia at a shopping mall that's just unbearable. I can't even watch it. That's happening. You have Trudeau, who's now putting the military, the Canadian military, that's been just doing their lullaby training now for how many years? They're going to be patrolling the streets. As predicted, all this is just predicted. You heard what Bill Cooper said there in the intro. The creation of, I mean, you ask anybody who knows anything about theology, world history, the creation of the League of Nations, the United Nations, the creation of the CFR, the EU, everybody could tell you the creation of Israel put together by the Rothschilds at the Abraham Accords, they have the papers, I'll show you the video once we have it, was for this very moment. To ignite, it was the ignition button to put a bunch of tourists, just like we have in Minnesota with the Somalis, in one of the most hectic regions of the world, the Middle East, to then create a conflict, to then push the ignition button for World War III, to create the One World Order. Do we see how this works? You know, I don't even have to say I'm an expert. I just have to tell you people, just I'm alive. I have a pulse, I have a common sense, and I have some sort of memory that people seem to have just dropped at the wayside. So we're going to be getting into a whole sort of things, plus the new just weird military UFO aircraft that's now just being unleashed all over the world. It's giving everybody the creeps. Some of this stuff is cloaking devices on big just airborne kind of aircraft. That we can't make sense of it, but we're going to try to look at everything here tonight. So before we get started, before I have another heart attack, we are broadcasting live now on Real Deal Mini tonight on Facebook. Yes, we're doing a test. Hopefully everybody can find it. It's one of the most shadow banned things ever. So hopefully you can find us there. We're also broadcasting live on, well, we're on Dean Ryan TV for now over there on YouTube, as well as X, Rumble, and Brighteon. That's how that one works. Okay. Well, let's get started here because there's so much. I just want to jump right into this. We have a hell of a report now from Mr. Greg Reese. And I think that's going to be coming up here soon about all these people that broke their oaths, that never even signed an oath. That's going to be coming up because these people are leading us to war. We want to talk about the saboteurs like the CCP, who are just, you know, embedded with Dianne Feinstein as their butler, or people that are married to the CCP. The same applies to Israel. We have dual citizens leading us to war. And these people, Netanyahu is not going to go away in his whole cabinet unless there's a complete Middle East engulfed with their nuclear just wet dreams at this point. That's how we see it. So let's get started here with a little bit of some headlines from around the world and in your neck of the woods, shall we? Well, yes. Sad to say that we're in this position. I was not even planning on being a very lead wartime correspondent this evening, but that's how the way just war works in this case. Well, here it is. Yes, Iran has now responded and has attacked Israel. This is on the heels of their embassy being bombed in Syria. This is exactly what Israel wanted. This is exactly what Albert Pike wanted many, many decades ago. But let me tell you about it now. Well, the night sky above Jerusalem is now being lit up. More than 150 drones now that have now killed 12 Iranians, including two top generals, is now underway. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard said via state media that, quote, the aerospace unit of the Revolutionary Guard has attacked targets in Israel with dozens of drones and missiles in reaction to the Zionist regime's crimes, including the attack on the consulate section of Iran's embassy and over there in Damascus just days ago, and martyring their commanders and military advisors over there in Syria. Well, missiles have begun to enter Israel. That's indeed true over there in their airspace. You might have seen the video. Well, the video, which I'll share with you shortly, is now all these missiles coming from the Revolutionary Guard are being intercepted and stopped by the dome, the Israeli dome defense that you've heard about, which, by the way, Canada purchased one. Now we know why they purchased one a while ago, the U.S. and even Hungary. Isn't that something? Well, blasts were heard over there as far as Jericho in the occupied West Bank, where the Israeli army said it sounded like sirens in the southern Negev region. Now, Iran claims to have dealt heavy blows, they say, to the airbase over there at Negev. Well, Iranian media reported that Tehran's barrage of ballistic missiles, well, it now has concluded. Well, the drones and cruise missiles are still yet to enter the Israeli airspace, and Iran has vowed to take further defensive measures if Israel chooses to respond. Now, you might recall, if I might add, that just days ago, we shared with you via Mike Adams, who gave us a very special exclusive report about everything that is happening now, as he said it would happen. Isn't that something? Well, just so we could refresh our memory, here's exactly what Mike Adams said, and now apply it as it's coming to fruition, and we're going to get Jim Fetzer's take on the other side. Here it is, Mike Adams predicting the future or just opening his eyes and telling us pretty much common sense. Here it is.
All right, this is a Real Deal Media exclusive from Mike Adams here at Brighteon. The analysis of what's about to happen with Iran's military strike on Israel, this is almost certainly going to involve Iran launching a wave of super cheap, expendable missiles. And this is why they've had all this hoopla about the NOTAM, the Notice to Airmen, you know, air traffic, to try to make it look like there's going to be this huge assault, but they're actually going to launch a wave of cheap missiles. And the idea is to deplete Israel of all of its anti-air ammunition, knowing, this is where the strategy comes in, knowing that the anti-air defense missiles, such as the Patriot missiles, are number one, extremely expensive, but the U.S. can't manufacture them in sufficient quantities anymore because everything has been sent to Ukraine. Now, if you think about it, what Iran is doing with the strike is causing Israel to use up its ammunition of anti-air defenses, allowing a massive opening for Hezbollah to then strike with the real missiles from the north, relying on, you know, Israel having used up most of its ammunition. Now, Israel has a lot of ammo stockpiled for it, but it's not unlimited, and the U.S. can't supply it anymore, not in any kind of sufficient quantity. So look for that. Look for Israel to announce that we shot down everything from Iran. All the missiles came in. We shot them all down. That's exactly what Iran wants.
Exactly what Iran wants. Okay, to talk about this and a whole lot more about everything Middle East, Iran, Israel, the whole geopolitical landscape, I want to bring Jim Fetzer to the stage. Jim, let's get into it, because you know what? Mike said it, and we are exactly seeing exactly what he said the strategy was going to be here.
Yeah, he's a smart guy, and I think he's got it largely right. In fact, I saw an announcement tonight that Israel was running out of its anti-missile munitions. So, I mean, he was spot on in that regard. Now, I'd say there are three key aspects of what's taking place here. The first is a psychological effect on the Israeli population. They are in shock that Israel itself has come under attack. In the second place, they're not only expending their munitions, but Iran is gathering information about, you know, what anti-aircraft properties, their layered defense, and so forth, where the Iron Dome appears to be an electromagnetic field. So you can see these drones lighting up because they're being attacked by the electromagnetic field. But I got to say, Dean, I watched samples from MSNBC, from Fox, from CNN especially. And I think there's a very large number of drones and a very large number of strikes. In other words, there's a whole lot more damage being done than Israel is willing to admit. Number three, the whole Arab world is uplifted by Iran doing something about the genocide. I mean, of course, technically it's predicated on the fact that Israel struck its own territory at the consulate, which is a sovereign territory of Iran. But what it's doing is uplifting, and the spirits of the whole Arab community. Now, here's the fateful decision to come. The Israeli cabinet has authorized the prime minister, who's certifiable, to take whatever measure he thinks is appropriate in response. And Netanyahu would like nothing better than to nuke Iran. So my fear is that, having been authorized, he's going to do it. We had John Bolton, who's another lunatic, on MSNBC earlier today, and he was talking about how what Israel ought to do is to take out Iran's nuclear capability. I mean, remember, Iran has never been invested in nuclear weapons. It's disavowed them. It doesn't even believe they're moral. It's not a part of their policy. But they do have enrichment facilities, which were originally designed for peaceful use of nuclear energy deep underground. It's going to be very fateful in the next 24 to 48 hours, Dean, what Netanyahu does, because his decision is going to make the difference between war and peace.
I couldn't agree more. And look, I think you're right, Jim. I mean, look at Erdogan, who lost the election, but he's still the president. He said flights are being canceled to and over Iran as we speak. In Israel, anticipation of airstrikes, Australian Airlines has canceled all flights to Iran. You also have, well, until April 18th, we're saying. You also have, just like you said, so many of the Arab world have come together. Here's another one here. These are all over the place. Over the past several minutes, official Telegram channels belonging to Hezbollah, Hamas, Gaza factions, the Houthis, the PMF, shared propaganda poster with the caption of "On the Road to Jerusalem." So this is united. And just to highlight what you said, Jim, here is the drones now. Let me put this on air. Drones coming to Israel as we speak. Check this out right here.
Iran launches over 200 drones and missiles at Israel in a retaliatory attack. U.S. says it shot down some Iranian drones that were headed towards Israel.
So, yeah, there's that. There's more. It's the loud sirens everybody's talking about. Jim, let me ask you now, because I have more footage of this. What is the response now of the U.S.? I want to get your take on this, because we're depleted too. Obama depleted the United States military long ago. So we have a weak response. We have ships harboring Israel over there near the Gaza Bank and everywhere. What is going to be the role of the United States here? Because that's my biggest fear in a very economic crisis that we're now experiencing as well.
All the reports are saying the U.S. participated in shooting down. I think these are drones. Honestly, I haven't seen any evidence of any cruise missiles or ICBMs. I don't believe they've been involved yet. But a staggering number of drones. I mean, when I was watching CNN, and I think it was non-circling, you know, not recycling, I must have seen 30 actual hits where the drones actually got to the ground and there was an explosion that was significant. The U.S. claims it's assisting in shooting down, you know, everything coming from Iran. The question is whether the United States is going to become more seriously involved. Iran has already stated that the United States must not do that, or all of its bases and assets in the Middle East are going to be at stake. And they mean that. I'll bet there are 20 different U.S. bases there that could be taken out, including a major headquarters for what, CENTCOM in Bahrain. I'm telling you, this is very precarious for the United States. We're not really prepared to do anything in this context, but Biden is going to be under tremendous pressure to act. And remember, Bibi is basically functioning as the commander-in-chief of the United States.
Well, here's something interesting. So you have Israel, and we never even spoke about this. We didn't brief about it. They pull out of Gaza, what was it, about 4 days ago, and on the return, you had huge protests against Benjamin Netanyahu, but it was coming from people in support of his cabinet who I think it's about 40% want him to go further and deeper into a kind of a onslaught of a offensive attack. Just how conflicting is that? Because what can the people in Israel do who are against all this? They're kind of trapped in a whirlwind of hell right now, aren't they?
Well, there have been tremendous protests, actually all over the world, but including in Israel against Netanyahu, against the slaughter of the Palestinians. The problem is those who are all for it are the ones in charge. And I'm sorry to say, you know, it's a case where the lunatics are running the asylum and there's none. I mean, this man is incredibly clever, highly intelligent, and certifiable. I have no doubt about it. Bibi Netanyahu will go down as one of the great mass murderers of all time. He, I believe, will use nukes on Iran. I think that is coming. And at that point, all hell will break loose.
And look at this, Jim. It's saying U.S. must stay away. U.S. must stay away. This is determination on a huge scale. Then you have the photo op here. Meanwhile, Netanyahu's son is just sunbaking over there in Miami. No doubt about that. And on the heels of this, now look at this new union and PAC forming. Well, look what we have here. We have Vladimir Putin and the president over there of Iran now having a bond, a union in the event United States attacks Iran's soil in support of Israel. Well, yeah, there it is, Jim. I mean, this is, it's not unprecedented when you have the fox guarding the hen house. You have Blinken. You have dual citizens all over the damn place. We are
I think everyone there, with a possible exception of Biden, is a dual U.S. Israeli citizen. And as I observed in 2008, you must not allow dual citizens and decision-making or policy-shaping position because you cannot know their loyalty to the other state doesn't outweigh their loyalty to the United States. And for those who are Jewish, by God, it does.
Mike, we are such a captured nation right now. It is just one hell of a time to be alive, Jim. And here, just finally, to further highlight your point, this is the Iran's deadly kamikaze drones that have arrived in Jerusalem. So we understand the landscape here. Here it is. Golan Heights.
Yeah, see.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
This is underscoring Mike Adams' point, Dean. This is expensive weaponry being used to take out cheap drones.
Right. And dare I say drones from China? Dare I say drones from China?
Well, I actually think these are Iranian. Remember, the Iranians have sold hundreds, maybe thousands, to Russia. And Russia's for real here, in my opinion. If Israel attacks Iran, and given it's up to Netanyahu, I believe it's now inevitable. I believe the die is cast. Russia is going to be drawn in, and then the U.S., we're going to have a world war in the making right now, Dean. And it's all contingent on what Netanyahu does next.
Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, this really just, you know, when you step back from it all, Jim, what we were talking about day one, or I should say week one of this entire pandemic war, we called it, this was world war as we saw it from the beginning of this. And we've been with all of you out there since the day one of this. But Jim, before we go into the political realms of everything, you know, just how can this, what is a quick, or maybe it's not quick, but what is a resolution that can be kind of remedied here? Because I have come up with things of the people of Israel, it's up to them to rid this cabinet and this prime minister and surrender those people to the war crimes or the tribunals of the world government or UN or whoever the case, I believe in South Africa. To me, that's the only route of a resolution to bypass a World War III that we can't even afford.
Well, under Article 51 of the UN Charter, Iran has the right to a proportional response to an attack on its own territory and has declared this drone attack to be done, that was it. And if Israel were simply to accept that and do nothing, then I think we, in having pulling out of Gaza under pressure. I mean, the whole world is outraged with Israel's vicious and sadistic behavior. We might, if we're very lucky, circumvent World War III. But I'm sorry to say, Bibi thinks it's going to help him, and therefore he's going to go for it. And of course, the U.S. has given Israel all this weaponry. I mean, it's just outrageous what's gone on. Yeah, Jordan has closed its airspace. I believe Iraq has also closed its airspace. But the Israelis don't give a damn. They don't care about international law, national sovereignty. They're going to go ahead and do whatever they want to do anyway. And the belief that they're acting at behest of a higher law, God's law, that entitles them to do whatever they want as the chosen people.
So here it is now. Let's make the transition here into the realm of politics. Now, this is a little report, Jim, from Greg Rees, who does a fantastic job. Let me set it up for you. We're going to get into the oath. A lot of people have been talking about a lot of these people who are in the federal government. Well, they've never signed a pledge to serve the American people of what people have coined as their oath, meaning this is an illegitimate government that is leading us to the slaughter here, and it needs to be addressed. Well, here it is. Greg Rees put it all into perspective for us, and thank God for it, because these are crucial, crucial times. Here it is. Check it out.
January 10th of 1963, 45 current communist goals were submitted to the Congressional Record. Number 13 was do away with loyalty oaths. 60 years later, on the very same day, Biden, Obrador, and Trudeau met in Mexico City for the Declaration of North America, which states a plan to unify North America under the ideas of diversity, climate change, migration, health, and regional security. The beginnings of a North American Union, which is a step towards a one-world government. According to law, elected officials must swear an oath that they will support, defend, and bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And through the Freedom of Information Act, U.S. Attorney Todd Callender, along with his team at Project Proper Oath, found that not a single member of the existing cabinet has a valid oath of office. U.S. Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin has no oath of office and has also failed to register as a foreign agent, which is required due to serving on the boards and conducting international business with Raytheon, Nucor, and Tenet Healthcare. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra, responsible for declaring a national emergency during COVID, has no oath of office. Former director of the Centers for Disease Control, Rochelle Walensky, had no oath of office. U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith, responsible for investigating the January 6th U.S. Capitol attack, has no oath of office. U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Matthew Graves, chief prosecutor of Jan Sixers, has no oath of office. Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, has no oath of office. Within 30 days of appointment to public office, all public officials are legally required to have a signed and notarized copy of their oath of office. And it appears as if no elected officials in the federal government have one. They are either non-existent, incomplete, or fraudulent. The fraudulent ones are missing signatures, are not notarized, and in most of them, the words, "So help me God," are in all caps. In the U.S. Constitution, "So help me God" is not in all caps. And this matters, as many have been telling us for decades, including the great Jordan Maxwell.
Today, the entire world of mankind operates under a world law, which is referred to as the Law of the High Seas or International Maritime Admiralty. When you were born, you came out of your mother's water. Since you came out of your mother's water, you are a maritime product. This is why, when you were born, the dock has to sign your birth certificate. It's a maritime admiralty manifest showing that your mother brought you into the world and you were going to make money. Anything in this country, if it's a lawful legal document of any kind, your name must be, according to maritime law, be in all capital letters. Why? Because you do not own your body. You do not own yourself. All capital letters name implies that you are a maritime admiralty product. You are not a human. You're not a living entity. You're a product. You're a living entity person. The actual you is represented under law by upper and lower case name. So you are a corporation.
Okay, we're going to stop it there. I think you get the gist that there is some very weird anomalies here with the people leading us to the slaughter. Is we all see it, but these people have the control of the military. These people have the control of the barbarian class, as Kissinger called it, because as you might have known or might have guessed over time, Ho Chi Minh said, "Diplomacy is at the barrel of a gun." So let's continue on here. We're going to get Jim's take on that. But this first, because overnight, over the past, I should say, 48 hours now, there's been two attacks, just like the train derailments of yesteryear, as in last year. Well, now we have this. Check this out. We have a barge over there in Ohio River, over there, Ohio River in Pittsburgh, has now been just, you guessed it, taken out. some kind of malfeasance at the operators, or a purposeful premeditated attack. Well, crews work overnight now to recover 26 barges that broke loose on the Ohio River. Yes, 26 barges that broke loose on a towboat over there over the Ohio River Friday night are accounted for now. Now crews are recovering them after they damaged local marinas and rest of the local rock and dam. Very, very suspicious. That's right. The Broad Branchport Boat Club over there in Pittsburgh's Chateau neighborhood was torn apart after runway barges smashed the docks to pieces just 2 weeks before it was set to open for the season. I'm sure this is a big, vital, just passageway for the United States of sorts. Well, spokesperson from the U.S. Coast Guard, Colonel Nicholas Mellon, over there in Pittsburgh, district of the U.S. Army Corps, said that they broke away from a towboat, nobody knows why, over there at the West End Bridge. 23 barges were carrying dry cargo like coal, but no hazardous materials known about at this time. 11 of the barges got pinned against the riverbank and by the Brunton Island, the colonel said, and 9 stopped at the Emsworth Dam. I have some video of this as it's just coming through here. Let me put this up for you. Check this out. This is what I'm talking about. This is a little just kind of sample of what that looked like and what that entailed. Here it is. Yeah, just how does this happen? How does this happen? How in the world does this happen? Nobody knows why. So more, we're learning more about that as it goes. Now, in addition to this, before we get Jim's take on this, this also happened in Texas. This is 18-wheeler now has intentionally rammed into the Texas Department station after it was stolen, severely injuring over a dozen people over there at Brenham, Texas. Currently, numerous law enforcement and other emergency personnel are on the scene. This is just an attack, as we expected. Here's what that looked like. Is this is now just coming in as we go. I mean, you can't even keep up with this. This war is definitely psychological, but it is fast-paced, and that's how it is. Here's a little sample of what I'm suggesting and articulating. Yeah, look at that. They don't know why, as well, we just lost the whole damn shit. Okay, you get the point. We'll come back to that. You know, I'm going to throw this computer out of the window. Jim, I'm going to bring you on before I just turn into the devil himself here. Jim, you want to talk about that? Because this piece of shit computer doesn't work. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Dean, I think the truck thing is just an anomaly, but the other stuff is far more serious. Remember, after the Baltimore Bridge incident on Telegram, we had a notification that if Ukraine doesn't keep getting the money, you're going to have more of these incidents. I believe they're done by cyber attack, and that they're going to continue. I mean, the United States is very, very vulnerable in all kinds of ways. And this idea of using barges to take out our bridges is extremely clever because it's easy to do and it's cost effective. As far as lack of oaths, if these officials do not have properly executed oaths of office and their orders and directives in office are invalid and lack legal binding significance. So we got a hell of a fix because these people are operating basically outside of the framework of the law. What they're doing is improper, illegal, lacking proper authority and constitutional foundation. It's really pretty outrageous. But they did it deliberately so they couldn't be prosecuted for violating an oath of office they came in intending to violate. That's the big picture.
Very, very smart. Okay, Jim, we have a hard break coming up, and I'll be literally throwing this like a frisbee or like one of them Iranian drones right into someone's damn trash can here. In fact, you know, I'm just going to kill it as we speak. Nothing goes my way, Jim. I'm very unlucky. Okay, so anyways, we're going to take a quick break as you see it here in live time. As I just start doing my own ceremony of just carnage. But when we return, we're going to be getting into everything, just additional politics on the domestic home front. But we're going to also get into the butchery of the Sydney, I believe it's Sydney, but definitely the Australian butchery at the shopping mall. We'll have Jim analyze that. We'll see who this gentleman is, if he's real, if he's not. We'll figure it out. Anyways, stay where you are. You're watching Real Deal Media's almost emergency broadcast at this point of our weekend update. We'll be back after this quick message.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Kim Jong-un is now crying in front of thousands of women. Thousands of women. Usually it's the other way around, but this time it's a little different as he now calls on all the North Korean women to halt the country's falling birth rate. Well, here's a quote. Preventing a decline in birth rates and good child care are all of our housekeeping duties. We need to handle while working with mothers, the emotional Kim Jong-un said. You know, I'm just getting a little emotional myself reading this. You know, he goes out of his way to do this. At least we could join him.
양심이고 혁명의 미래를 떠밀고 나갈 새 세대들의 대우를 튼튼히 꾸리는 데 이바지하려는 숭고한 국민적 자각이라고 하면서 오고자는 이렇듯 고결한 인생관을 지닌 여성들의 대우가 나날이 늘어나고 있는 데 대하여 굳이 높이 언급했습니다. 혁명가의 첫 걸음도 어머니의 젖줄기에서 시작된다고 하신 김정은 동지의 말씀을 명심하고 자녀들의 첫째가는 교양자로서의 권고를 다해왔다가며 자녀들의 가슴 속에 애국 같은
생각이
기어오는 어머니들의 특출한 공적이라고
미소하네요.
또한 자녀들을
Okay, are we, let me just recover here. Hopefully everyone made it through that.
To call some driver, but automatically guided car, a self-driven car, will come to your hotel or wherever you are and will bring you to the airport. No, Los Angeles is one of the cities with the heaviest traffic, who told me in 2030, Los Angeles will be private car-driven free. And this will allow to transform highways into parks and other like Uber, but not anymore.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. I am back. I am back. Minus a computer that I totally took one of these things to and just beat the hell out of it. Kind of like that guy. He needs a good beating to understand how the world appreciates world government, and the mere conception of it is merely waking up the masses too, just to be on the flip side of things. Anyways, I am still Dean Ryan, who is in the middle of, well, see, nothing. Usually that's my name, but tonight I don't have one. I'm just two dots. It's Farsi's, I believe. Just like that. Everything has gone completely kaput. We are sponsored tonight by you, the wonderful Real Deal Night Owls out there. You can become a member. And doing so, all you have to do is go to realdealmedia.tv/membership. And your efforts make this effort still continue as we just almost perish into oblivion because of Netanyahu and every sycophant of the Christian Zionist team that just really steams me. Anyways, we're going to get into some things here tonight as we continue our World War III coverage with Jim Fetzer, who's going to be joining us here. But now we're going to go into the domestic just the politicos here. Really, as well, we can still have it. Are we going to have an election? But let's talk about it first and get his take on it before Klaus Schwab returns for an encore. And you know how that goes. Well, so, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know what? Everything's going to be okay if Trump gets back in. Or a lot of people will say there's not going to be an election. A lot of people say they're all in on it. But here's the facts of before we divulge of what exactly that entails. Well, now there is a effort now by the GOP, who else would it be, to insist that the military goes further into a retaliation against Iran. Well, you guessed it. Senator woman Lindsey Graham is forefront on this little parade. Yes, he's the Grand Marshal this year once again. GOP lawmakers demand U.S. retaliate against Iran over the attack on Israel that was allowed to happen. Does this dummy not get it? Is he so far up the dead carcass of John McStain that he doesn't even see what's right before him? How blackmailed is he? Do I want to know? Well, further, he's saying we need to push more aid packages long past time for Iran to pay. No, it's past time for you to pay, you little pig. Anyways, yes, Republican lawmakers just today now demand of the U.S. launch a retaliatory strike against Iran, no matter if we like it or not, just like they did in the Vietnam War. Well, Iran launched 100 of suicide drones, they're saying, towards Israel. No reason, just because. The mass bandit and dead president guy himself, Joe Biden, vowed prior to the attack to do everything possible to protect Israel. However, the aid to Israel amid the country's war with Hamas has been delayed due to division within the Republican Party. Oh, it's a real shame, isn't it? Following the attack, Representative Steve Scalise announced that the House will move forward next week to consider the bill that will provide Israel with an aid package. Never mind all the just people that can't afford to eat here in the United States. It doesn't matter. Well, here's a quote from Mr. Scalise himself. And then I'll show you what Trump said about it. We're saying, quote, in the light of Iran's unjustified attack on Israel, totally unjustified, the House will move from its previously announced legislative schedule next week to instead consider legislation that supports, quote, our ally Israel and holds Iran and its terrorist proxies accountable, Scalise wrote. The House representative stands strong with Israel, even though the American people may not. We don't give a damn. And there must be consequences for this unprovoked attack. Really? Well, here's a little 30-second clip of what Trump is spouting, and then we'll get Jim's take on it. And I hope to God this works. I really do, because nothing seems to work. Here it is. Check this out.
So inflation is back, and a lot of bad things are happening in our country, but that's the least of it. You've got Russia could end up in, you could end up in a world war between Russia, Ukraine, and all of the chaos, and that's something should have never happened. It would have never happened. What's going on with Israel, October 7th, and what's going on with Israel could end up in a world war. We have a president that can't put two sentences together. We have a president that can't find the stairs off a stage. We have a president that doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And we could end up in a world war. You know, we have just a little bit less than 7 months now, months before November 5th. But that's an eternity when people are incompetent.
All right, there you have it. Jim, let's get your take on everything here, because the Republicans are saying we love war, especially when it's defending Israel and their defense interests.
Well, Scalise has clearly drunk the Zionist Kool-Aid, sad to say. We're going to get more money to Israel. You can take that as a given. However, the situation with Ukraine is increasingly desperate. Ukraine has actually already lost a war. And talk about, you know, NATO coming to its defense is just foolhardy, pointless, ain't going to happen. What's most important about that is that Ukraine has been viewed as central to the New World Order moving forward. So the loss in Ukraine is huge worldwide. Now, Israel, as I say, seems to be taking a break from the ongoing slaughter of the Palestinians. I don't know if they're going to resume or not, but they have lost their standing in the eyes of the world. They played the victim card for the last time. And you're even getting reminders from that old interview with an Israeli former head of education with Amy Goodman saying, when Israel is criticized, it's a trick. In Europe, we talk about the Holocaust, and in the U.S. about anti-Semitism. And it's pathetic, but that there have been moves in the House to broaden the meaning of anti-Semitism to include any criticism of Israel, Dean, which is offensive in the extreme when they're committing genocide, as an example.
Well, this is a good segue. I'm glad you brought that up, because now you have Speaker of the House and Father of the Year, Mike Johnson, the man who adopts 14-year-old boys when he's 25 years old and single. You don't have to search too far to see what his blackmail is. In fact, he's serving it on a silver blackmailed platter. But Jim, he's actually now introducing, I think they just passed the CISA legislation that's going to require or not require any warrants whatsoever to spy on the American people via the internet. And he's talking about it here at this press conference. I want to show you a few seconds of this because it's just incredible how just rolling in file in line supporting this. Here it is. Mike Johnson.
Open border catastrophe is directly related to this threat to our election integrity. Why is that? You need to understand something really important about federal law. Since 1993, the National Voter Registration Act, we call it the Motor Voter Law, allows people to sign up to.
I should preface it too, Jim. He's saying in this bill, he snuck in, well, you have to show that you're a citizen before you can vote in November. So you have, you know, a portion of the GOP supporters, they're saying, oh, this is a good thing. But I don't think so. And look at the angry man behind him.
Vote when they get a driver's license. If an individual only asserts or simply states that they are a citizen, they don't have to prove it. They can register that person to vote in a federal election. And you see, states are currently prohibited, believe it or not, the states are prohibited from asking someone to prove that they're a citizen. The federal voter registration form just has a checkbox. If you do that.
Okay. Shut his stupid, filthy mouth. Okay, Jim, let's talk about this now, because why does there have to be just a new law for the obvious to vote? I mean, if you want to go buy a beer at the bar or the liquor store, wherever, you have to show ID. How is this even a question or an issue at this point?
Well, of course, the Democrats are trying to manipulate the outcome of the election, and they know right now current polling shows Trump beating Biden in all six swing states. So they're desperate. They want to put a lot of these migrants in the swing states and have them register by getting a driver's license. That's a motor voter thing. Jerry Brown introduced it in California decades ago. So you're automatically registered to vote when you get your driver's license, except that in California, and it appears nationwide now, illegals are going to be allowed to get driver's license and thereby to register to vote. It's a Democrat scam to change the outcome in the swing states. And who knows? It might work. It's desperate, but it's disappointing to find this guy Johnson, whom a lot of us thought might be a good guy, to turn out to be a POS.
a POS, and indeed, Jim, I knew it from the start. But here's something interesting, just to throw a plot twist in a very confusing evening. Well, this just came out now. What is it, you might ask? Well, Georgia's election board now admits to violations of election law in 2020. It's now officially in writing. It's a lot of people say this could overturn what was totally stolen and insulting into our intelligence. Is the matter involves allegations that were investigated by experienced investigators. This matter is a violation found. Okay, so this is signed by the Georgia State Election Board. Jim, this is kind of, is this a game changer, or is this a game changer too late, as we're about to all just kind of, you know, face the nuclear?
Yeah, it's too little too late, but it shows all of us who believe the 2020 election was stolen on the basis of overwhelming evidence were, of course, right. And even some entrusted authority boards have come to the same conclusion. So it's not going to make any difference, I'm sorry to say, but I mean, we were deprived. And if you want to ask yourself, do elections matter? Because we hear so much discussion, it doesn't matter. It's going to be the same. Think of the 4 years we had under Trump, and think of what's happened since Biden came into office. The United States has gone down the tube, Dean, in a startlingly fast, rapid fashion, all by design.
All by design, indeed, Jim. Okay, so here we have another one here. This next video here, and I want to get Jim's take on it. You know, some of us, maybe not many, but a lot of people said, what's going to come about of the eclipse? Some people said nothing. I believe I said it was a military drill. I believe I won the straw poll, if you recall, when we all took a vote. What is the prize? Well, you get, I'm not sure yet. It's all the stress, but a lot of other people said that there's going to be something unearthed from maybe Antarctica, but we have now been witness to many weird anomalies or introductions of new kind of aircraft from the military, or is it visitors from afar who maybe been here the whole time? It's just kind of, we talk about people that have been just living in your flats, squatters. Well, maybe it's from a different planet. Check this out. This young lady, this woman here, put it all together, and we'll discuss after about what's going to come next as Project Bluebeam and everything that our very own James Martinez said was going to happen is now unfolding in real time. I'll tell you that. Check this out.
We have even more insane eclipse-related events coming out. There's this giant, strange anomaly that appeared in the ocean right after the eclipse, and it looks like it came out of Antarctica. It is still active right now.
Trying to document this very weird anomaly taking place on Vent 2 Sky. I don't know what this blob is here, but it's coming from what looks like Antarctica. If we backtrack a little bit, you're going to see it disappear and reappear on the screen. So we move into Monday the 8th, which was obviously 3 days ago. Watch as we move into Tuesday. This mass pops up with waves of 83.7 feet in height. What in God's name is this thing moving out of Antarctica, as you can see, and then it moves up the coast of Africa into the Atlantic Ocean.
Someone also captured a video of multiple moons in the sky during the eclipse, which is very strange, especially since a lot of people think it was not the moon that caused the eclipse at all. Plus, all of the videos that have been coming out over the last year or so of multiple moons and multiple suns in the sky.
Oh, wait, what? How does that happen?
Because we're in the moon.
But look, the moon is right there in front of the sun. Wait, but the moon is over here. Why is the moon right there if it's supposed to be in front of the sun? Here, I'm using these right here.
And then we have sky sparkles.
What the F are the sparkles in the sky after the solar eclipse?
Okay, well, there you have it. Very articulate in so many different ways. Jim, you know, the case can be made that there's maybe a greater purpose and enemy lurking around the corner and or friend, but what a hell of a time for all these things to happen simultaneously that my man brain is not able to function and carry it at all at this, at this time. What are we experiencing here?
Dean, don't take it seriously. This is just a puff piece, but I'll say its greatest merit is she's cute.
Okay, that's one vote for the hot factor.
Well, here's what I'm talking about, Jim. This was now reported over there at Philadelphia at the Delaware River. This is what I'm talking about. People captured this. Imagine you fishing on a very, very cold early morning. Yeah. Next thing you know, you see a flying Smurf in the air that starts to go for a little swim. Could it be a extraterrestrial military aircraft? Could be a cloaked man with a cloaked kind of technology that we've been talking about. Jim, any guesses? You want to take a shot at this, what we're seeing here? It's a phenomenon.
No, dude, I think that was having fun playing us, but it's intriguing. This is more interesting than the last, but not actually as enticing.
Jim, I think if you're in that boat right now, Jim, you'd probably jump in your car and drive away here as we continue our coverage of the cloaked man, the blue edition. Okay, so what are people saying out there? Jim, why don't we take a few inquiries while we can, and then I have a hell of an omission by Jim Brewer regarding Dave Chappelle that I wanted to share, but why don't we take a few inquiries here? Let's start with Rumble, and because people have a lot to say about things that are allowed to be answered for. Okay, we have Mr. The Real General Mahdi. He's saying they sprayed here in the morning of the eclipse too. That's another thing, yes. You know, a lot of it is being talked about, the geoengineering. Definitely it's happening in Wisconsin where you are. It's on the uptick, except for Tennessee that voted against it. Go ahead, Jim.
Dane Wigington has tracked one of the planes, you know, with the chemtrails and analyzed the samples they took, and it includes the mRNA vax. So I'm very, very troubled that we're getting sprayed with the vax. I think that's profoundly bad. Evil. The whole chemtrail thing is very troubling. And it's the U.S. Air Force is doing it, Dean. The U.S. Air Force.
Yeah, that. Well, yeah. We know that seems to be the case. Here's some people typing in here on YouTube. Thank you very much. We have, and I have to turn you down a little bit, Jim, there. Okay. Here we have B. Baker saying that Johnson was pushing Pfizer. He's a rat. Oh, yes, he is a rat. Yeah. I believe I called him a rat. When was that, January?
Yeah, I've lost all faith in him. To hell with him. Marjorie Taylor Greene is on the right. Get the hell rid of him. Put Jim Jordan in there, a guy in whom we can believe.
Well, the problem is you have the people that are wanting this, like Scalise, you know, who I believe was shot. Wasn't he shot in the head? He was shot in the head or something like that.
I don't think in the head. I think it was in the shoulder. But, yeah, he was. But, you know.
It was in the shoulder.
I don't think that affected his politics, but obviously he's gone off the deep end on this, in this case, with drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yes, he has. And we're going to cover Australia. I have that footage somewhere. I had it right here, Jim, as you know, but you want to talk about Australia because they're totally disarmed. I took a lot of flack when I was in Australia from people that I was there. I was filming a movie that said, oh, see, you Americans and your guns, you have a problem at school. And now, if I could find the damn footage, this guy's just hacking everybody. And there's no citizen that can stop him except for a mall cop who shot him in the head. Jim, you want to speak on that while I pull this up here? It's just remarkable footage.
Just more generally, the more guns, the lower the homicide rate. The Democrats have been selling us a mess of pottage. And that's true worldwide. North America, United States, Canada used to be the highest armed nations in the world with the lowest homicide rate. Canada has given up its guns. UK has given up its guns. UK is an instructive case because people are going to kill one another regardless. They had an epidemic of knife attacks, so they banned knives. And I said, what's next? Potato peelers? And believe it or not, they did. They banned potato peelers.
Oh, my God.
People are going to kill one another, Dean. The fact is, if you have a highly armed society, it's a peaceful society, and the Democrats have their heads where the sun doesn't shine over this issue among so many others.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I want to get your take on what just took place over there with Alex Jones, who's now suing the FBI and the CIA for plotting against him, and has a lot to do with his case. But before we do, here it is, Jim. This just took place in Australia, I believe yesterday. Look at this. It's only a few seconds. I don't want to show the whole thing. Butchered a baby, butchered a woman. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But how's this? I thought this wasn't supposed to happen in Australia. They got since, you know, Port Arthur and that little manufactured event.
Dean, when I first heard about this, it struck me as odd, rather on a par with Hamas cutting off the heads of babies. Count me a skeptic, Dean. I've seen too many of these where it turned out they were fabricated stage event. It's going to take something to convince me this is real.
It is definitely the timing. You know, I was there, Jim, in Sydney for the hostage siege, if you recall.
You see this unfold, and you can see the shock of those confronting the person as he runs through.
Well, they're already saying he's a jihadist. How convenient. But I was there, Jim, in 2014, Christmas of 2014, when the hostage siege happened right across from Australian Broadcasting Television Studios. It was prime showing. And what they didn't tell you, because there was just a S-storm of gunfire coming from the Australian cops themselves, and they were shooting everybody. So, and they knew who that guy was. He was being monitored. How did he have a firearm ready? So here it is again. And just a real shame. I should probably call some of my family who are still residing in that country. I should. But anyways, so it remains to be seen what it was, Jim. I do feel bad for any of that hostility. And then you want to talk about now, let's get into, as we kind of dwindle down here, it's now coming out that there was a plot by the Federal Bureau infiltrators and the Central Intelligence people to take Alex Jones down. And it has to do with that they got involved in his civil trial case over there in Connecticut. Do you want to speak on that? Because can we make the same case that it could apply to you as well?
Well, let me just say, I recently watched now the Truth versus Alex Jones, and it's a total propaganda. You have these synthetic families. You have these phony parents who had phony kids. They made up their kids. There's proof right in the video that it was a hoax, if you know enough about it. You got Neil Haslam, who claims he held his son in his arm when he died. Well, if you watch the press conference with Wayne Carver, he said that the parents weren't allowed to come into contact with their children, that they used photographs, which was appropriate because most of them only existed in the form of photographs. Then you got little Noah Posner in there, and I've demonstrated Noah Posner was a fiction made up of photographs of his older half-brother, Michael Vabner, when he was a child, where Michael Vabner is alive and well and doing stand-up comedy in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Those who have doubts about it, check out either SGT report, never speak of this, or the College of Complexes, Sandy Hook, what we know now that we didn't know then, where I've been in contact for 2 years with two of the participants, one who was cast as Emily Parker, the little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl who was supposed to die, and her erstwhile father, Robbie Parker, makes a major appearance here. He's not actually her father, he's her uncle. I mean, it's all a farce. And then Victoria Soto is supposed to be the teacher who gave her life. She's not only alive and well, but she's getting degrees under the name of Victoria Soto. Her mother, her real name is Victoria Relio. Her mother is the Newtown clerk. And it turns out I learned that while the death certificates that exist for these kids have a rubber stamp name of Debbie Aurelio, she only actually signs her name. So they're all fake. There's other proof in there. I'm going to write an expose about it and pursue it, Dean. But I'm telling you, the trouble that bothers me is Alex appears to have been in on it. You know, Robert Barnes said he was in the courtroom in Austin and they had three TV cameras in there, one of which was on the jury, and it looked to him like a made-for-TV movie. Well, I guarantee it was. They came, they interviewed me too, but I told him what really had happened, that I had the FEMA manual, that Margaret Alice Cottle, who was cast as Emily Barker, had led me to discover where on the Bridgeport FEMA, they had the drill listed there as a forthcoming event, where they even sent out a map of how to get from Bridgeport down to Dickinson Drive, where the school was located, that it wasn't even an elementary school. It was a special needs school. And Eric Holder came down in 2006 when it closed. I knew it was closed by 2008. It actually closed in 2006 and offered the community $114 million to participate in this scheme on the American people to show what could happen if we don't take guns away from us.
Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable stuff. Okay, so that's, I wanted to touch upon that. Here's a few more things here that have come my way, and we're going to take a few questions too. Also, if you'd like to call in, because, you know, I'm treating these, Jim, as these could be our last broadcast, our last few shows, because the cord could get cut. If you'd like to call in, and get part of the convo as these are.
Listen, I'm doing all my shows. I'm 5 days a week on RBN from 3 to 5 Eastern, and I end every show saying, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. Dean, we do not know how much time we have left.
We don't know. We don't know. Okay, two more segments here, quick segments, Jim. Stand by here. This next piece I want to get into here, it's, we kind of change lanes, but we're going to come back to the crisis in the Middle East here. You know, there's been a lot of speculation now of what's happening in the Hollyweird atmosphere. Certainly the celebutons, if we can use that phrase, are certainly not what they were, you know, 5-10 years ago. Nobody is bedazzled anymore. And a lot of people want to know the truth. They want to get to the bottom of it. There's a just innate just curiosity to people, and it's genuine. Well, one of those curiosities over the course of time and a lot of fanfare to go with it has been towards comedian Jim, not Jim Brewer, but Dave Chappelle, who actually was in a film with Jim Brewer. You might recall it was called Half-Baked. Well, now he's beginning to speak about what exactly happened to Dave Chappelle. How did he walk away, or not just walk, but run to the continent of Africa randomly after being offered about a $120 million contract? Well, this should shed some light on exactly what took place. But then again, maybe I will shed some light after this little piece here as we try to discover who's running the show and what kind of cabal is it. And whose cabal is it at that? Check this out, and we'll get your take on it afterwards. This is Jim Brewer telling us like it is. Take it away.
Or did you just go different ways?
No. We I think different ways, but I'll put something out there that I don't know if he... When we were filming the movie, and he also had a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
From HBO and or not HBO, Comedy Central,
Comedy
and all
Central,
shit, right?
The worst bunch of people on earth.
Horrid. Mm-hmm. He then, while he was on the show, when it was blowing up, and we remember the Aspen Comedy Festival?
I don't know, yeah, that was fun. I did that too.
He came there, and he was freaked out.
Yeah.
I said, "What's going on?" And all I could say is he was visited.
Yeah, that's what shit. I think too.
And when he told me who visits him, my heart stops for a second. I'm like, get the fuck. And I'll never forget. He went, "You believe me, right? You believe me, Jim, right?" And I could. He's like, "They came to me," and he said the names. I'm like, get the fuck. And what happened? And then all of a sudden, he went to Africa.
Yeah, that's what I remember happening. But they never really said what happened. Were you threatened? I mean, I don't know how much
you want. I don't have, you can't. That's none of my business. Okay. But I know for a fact
he was corrected.
He said,
correct.
Yeah. He was, hey, by whoever it was, mm-hmm. hey, we need to have a conversation. Would you like some of your own coffee in your house?
What?
Yeah, like that heavy shit. And that's the first time, you know, I would, and so when I saw him come back, it was a lot less communication. And maybe he just, you know, maybe he just grows, whatever. But I can honestly say, maybe I'm crazy for, and I am crazy for saying this. Mm-hmm. When I saw him completely come back, I really questioned if that was him.
Yeah, I know, right? I think that's
And I know that's really crazy.
I think those same things, yeah.
I know that's crazy.
Well, it's no crazier than that. Oh, the trains are going off the rails.
I tell you what, just...
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. So let me tell you, let me shed some light on this. Jim Brewer said that it didn't seem like him anymore. So, you know, that really grazes upon is it a clone? What are we talking about? But he said he was visited by certain people and that you wouldn't believe who it was. And he doesn't believe it. And Jim, I'll bring you in. Jim, who do you think he was visited by? Before I get too involved here.
I'm not at all sure, but it sounds like it was a racist thing. Chappelle is a brilliant comedian. I mean, just absolutely stunningly good, you know, a real comic genius. I put him up there with Robin Williams and Steve Martin, Jim Carrey maybe, but more intellectual. I mean, that was a great thing about Chappelle. He was a very intellectual guy. I thought he had an unlimited future. I was staggering when he turned down this vast sum of money and disappeared. So I don't know, but if it's somebody everybody would know, I don't know. Could have Dick Cheney, Hillary Clinton, I don't know. You know, there's a Clinton body count. Who do you think would fall into the category, Dean, as a plausible candidate to intimidate?
Jim, I will tell you who it was. It was roughly three people, and you wouldn't believe it if I told you. It was, and I'll tell you after the show who told me and where it came from. I'll tell you who visited Dave Chappelle, and it is unbelievable, just to say the least. So he was offered a contract.
Brilliant guy, a real comic genius.
Yes, yes, yes. He's come a long way. So he was about to offer $120 million. He's about to sign it, and he was visited by, you won't believe this, Bill Cosby. This is how far back it was, about 15 years ago. Bill Cosby, Oprah Winfrey, and I believe a big exec. I don't know if it was a big exec of NBC. So this is before the Cosby prosecution came about. Okay. So this is who he was. And they wanted him to do some very dastardly things that I don't dare mention here, but I could tell you that Oprah does wear the red robes and does the whole thing in Haiti. So it was some pretty sick stuff. Some pretty sick stuff.
They want to get him under control by having him do some, as you say, sick stuff. So he'd have something on him and could manage him and manipulate him.
That's right. That's right.
Bloody shame.
So he went to Africa. Now, what Jim Brewer's alluding to is that even Jim Brewer? Or excuse me, is that even Dave Chappelle? You know,
who's come back?
Yeah, who's come back? Who is this guy? And he's very subdued. He has a different personality. Maybe they got a hold of him, Jim. I'm not sure, but it was definitely telling. This was told to me 2017, 2018, around that time. So that's how that one goes. But so that's going to be our final segment. I want to show this last thing, Jim. I'm going to get your final take on this. You know, a lot of questions have come. What is Israel to do? You know, we're going to kind of close on this now as we are kind of crunched for time. But what's the next step? What is the next move for Netanyahu? I've offered my remedy or resolution, rather, of how this could go to kind of leapfrog over a world war catastrophe. Well, here's his words. I found this. Here's his words himself, Netanyahu, about the line in the sand and what he's going to do. And we'll give our final thoughts before we prepare for a greater fallout of this catastrophe here. What a time to be just around. Once again, here it is.
אזרחי ישראל, בשנים האחרונות, וביתר סט בשבועות האחרונים, ישראל נערכת לאפשרות...
Israel has been preparing for a direct attack. Our defense systems are deploying. We are ready any scenario, both defensively and offensively. The state of Israel is strong, the IDF is strong, the public is strong. We appreciate the U.S. standing alongside Israel, as well as the support of Britain, France, and many other countries who are now going to be targeted because I named them. We have determined a clear principle. Whoever harms us, we will harm them. We will defend ourselves against any threat and will do so level-headedly with determination. Citizens of Israel, know that you are also level-headed. I can call on you to follow the directives of IDF Homefront Command. With God's help, together we will overcome our enemies and continue to live up to the prophecy of Albert Pike. Okay, Jim, that's a good one to end on as we get to our final thought here. Jim, you want to talk about that? Because I just spotted that right now.
Well, Dean, I think he's going to roll the dice. I believe he's going to send F-35 provided by the United States and drop nukes on Iran. That's my prediction, and it's going to happen within 48 hours.
There it is. There it is, Jim. That's going to bring us to our final thoughts. Final thoughts as we've reached that time once again, we've come a long way and we still have a long way to go. But let's get the final thought now of the man who has been really watching the situation for just quite a long time. Jim Fetzer, final thoughts.
Well, Dean, even though he has his own serious flaws, Trump is head and shoulders above Biden. There's no question about it. We've seen tremendous damage to the United States, including mass migration, lawlessness, encouragement of the transgender movement, and a host of other efforts to destroy our nation. Believe me, this was well planned. It's been thoroughly, carefully executed. And if we do not have a restoration of Trump to office, where in spite of his flaws, he's going to do us so much good, even if he continues to be overly enthusiastic about Israel, which I condemn and even damn. We need him. I think he can help. I think we might survive, but I don't see otherwise how it's going to play out absent the American people taking arms and rising up against a tyrannical government as the Declaration of Independence declares our right to be.
Yes, indeed. And I'll take my final thought is going to be, well, it is going to be Jim's first final thought that we shared with you many years ago. He doesn't know I have this still, but this was the first one. Here it is. This is Jim Fetzer, March of 2020, saying we're living in dramatic historical times with catastrophic consequences. Jim Fetzer on the bridges of Madison County, I believe. I took that picture. And that is pretty much, that sums it all up right there, that every day is very, just very dramatic. And we're going to be monitoring this as this World War III develops here at our war post here. We are wartime correspondents, whether we like it or not, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles. So anyways, we're going to get out of here, everybody. If anything major develops tomorrow or the day after, especially Monday, we'll be back Monday, but anytime in between, I will be hitting to air as well. We still can, because they're going to cut everything in due time. So I want to thank Jim Fetzer for being here and everyone else here at Real Deal Media. I'm Dean Ryan saying thank you for sharing this catastrophic, these catastrophic times, historical times with all of us. We'll be back in due time. Meanwhile, never forget to stay tuned and stay awake. Good night, everybody.
Bye.